I'm Dr. Michael Haley, a doctor of chiropractic. About 8 years ago, I started supplementing my diet with phytonutrients. And after about a week, my wife had approached me. She had been talking to her mother, and they noticed a change in me. And my wife had brought it to my attention. She said, you know, we noticed that you're coming home, you are happy and you're smiling and you're playing with the kids. And she asked me, are you taking antidepressants? Now, you could imagine that was kind of shocking to me because my wife was asking me if I was taking drugs. I had to explain to her that I had not been depressed, but I was actually nutrient deficient. And since I started supplementing my diet with phytonutrients, I had more energy, more life. I'd come home from a long day at work, and all of a sudden I had more energy to give to play with the children. So my wife thought I was on drugs. Could you imagine this? You know, I'd been married a few years. My wife, she knew where I stand on drugs. Our kids, none of them have had vaccines. None of them have been given antibiotics. They've been living these natural lives. I won't take an aspirin. I won't take a allergy medicine. I won't take anything. We keep drugs so far from our house. Now, in a situation, you know, if necessary, we might use them. I'm not saying all drugs are bad, but for the most part, they are bad. So knowing where I stand on that, and my wife knowing where I stand on that, can you imagine that she thought I may have been taking antidepressants? Can you imagine the change she must have seen in me since I started consuming these phytonutrients, these concentrated superfood sources of phytonutrients? It must have been a pretty significant change, right? Remember, her mom and she had gotten together and had a talk about me because my personality had changed so much over the course of just a few days. These things are powerful. They are necessary. You need them. It changed me. It'll help you. So my life was actually nutrient deficient, and I didn't realize it until I started eating these gobs of phytonutrients. So what are phytonutrients? Phyto means plant. So of course, phytonutrients are nutrients from plants, or more appropriately, phytonutrients are plant chemicals that we eat, and they can have a significant positive effect on our health. Zoonutrients, like phytonutrients, if phytonutrients are from plants, then zoonutrients must be from the animal kingdom, coming from meat, fish, eggs, and dairy products. There is overlap. So as an example, consider lutein. You may have heard of lutein. It's a phytonutrient that is abundant in green leafy vegetables like spinach and kale. Lutein is known to be important for our vision. It may prevent age-related macular degeneration and cataracts, among other things. This particular phytonutrient from plants is consumed by animals, and it becomes a part of them. In chickens, lutein gives their skin and fat a yellow color, and it also makes the yolks of the egg yellow-orange in color. So if we get lutein from eating the egg, to us it is a zoonutrient. This is important because as you learn about the benefits of phytonutrients and realize there are many sources, both plants and animals, for these same supposed plant nutrients, because if you eat the animal foods that ate the plant foods, you still get the nutrients. Jordan Rubin said it well. He's the author of The Maker's Diet, and he's written many books, his latest called Live Beyond Organic. I think he's written probably 20 or more books. He said something like, you have heard it said, you are what you eat. But I say, when it comes to animal foods, you are what they ate. See, the reason this is so important is because if you think you are eating all the right foods, whether from plants or animals, as you will realize today, your source of these foods has everything to do with the nutrients that are in them. If spinach is good for you, but the source of spinach is poor, you might not be getting the right nutrients from the spinach that you eat. If cow is good for you, but your source of beef and dairy is poor, you're not getting the nutrients you should be getting. So with that said, what is so special about phytonutrients? can't you get enough nutrients and vitamins? I mean, if you eat a decent diet and take some vitamins, aren't you getting all the nutrients that you need? Well, vitamins are nutrients that have been named and identified as necessary. A shortage of these certain nutrients have been shown to lead to illness and even death. For example, a deficiency of vitamin C or ascorbic acid leads to scurvy. A deficiency of vitamin B3, which is called niacin, that would be associated with pellagra. B1 deficiency or thiamine deficiency can cause beriberi, and a deficiency of vitamin D can cause rickets. If you're not getting enough vitamin A, you might have night blindness and other symptoms. Well, most phytonutrients are not yet considered essential for life, but are instead considered beneficial for optimal health. But as we learn of the importance of certain nutrients, I suspect we'll continue to add to the vitamin list, to that vital amine list. Consider how our recommended dietary allowance or recommended daily allowance of vitamins and minerals has changed over the years. In fact, even the name has been changed to the recommended dietary intake. It's not the RDA anymore, but the RDI, and the food pyramid is now the food plate. This is an evolving process, and over the years, nutrients have been added to the necessary list. We will continue to learn how shortages of certain nutrients cause illness that can cause poor health and shorten your lifespan. They may not be as apparent as the vitamin deficiencies that I already mentioned, but more will become known. There are too many phytonutrients to name and develop recommended daily levels for. Let me explain. I'm going to use some fancy words for just a minute or two so I can drive this point home. You see, there are seven major classifications of phytonutrients. They are amines, lipids, organic acids, organosulfurs, polyphenols, polysaccharides, and terpenes. Let's just look at one group. Let's look at the terpenes. Terpenes have four subclassifications. They are chrominoids, limonoids, saponins, and carotenoids. Well, if you look at the carotenoids, they can be divided into two subgroups, xanthophylls and carotenes. But I'll stop the nonsense. You see, I'm trying to point out that there are over 600 carotenoids alone, which is one of those subclassifications of the seven big classifications. You know, to humans, these carotenoids, they function as powerful antioxidants and immune system boosters. Diets that are rich in carotenoids are linked with a decreased risk of heart disease, cancer, and degenerative eye diseases like macular degeneration and cataracts. All right, let's go back up to the top category, phytonutrients. Here's the point. So far, more than 25,000 different phytonutrients have been discovered in fruits and vegetables. But we have not established daily requirements for all of these individual nutrients. It's nearly impossible. We haven't even discovered all of them yet. And if we did, can you imagine trying to make sure you got the right amounts of each of these phytonutrients in your diet? But we can protect ourselves from shortages of important phytonutrients by getting many servings of plant foods, of fruits and vegetables that represent all of the colors in the spectrum. You see, the colors tell us something about the spectrum of nutrients within the plant foods. So if you wanted all of the groups of phytonutrients represented, you would eat enough from each color, likely some from fruits and some from vegetables. I like vegetables more than fruits for their nutrient density, and vegetables have lower amounts of sugars in them. Well, these sugars add up in the sense of calories. So if you're eating gobs and gobs of fruit, you may be getting more calories than you need. Whereas vegetables, they provide packed sources of nutrients with a very low calorie count. So as you're consuming your salads and your vegetables, you're getting lots of these nutrients that are going to satisfy your appetite because your body is getting the nutrients it needs. It no longer is hungry. Well, with fruits, you're getting nutrients, but you're getting lots of calories with them. So generally speaking, vegetables are better than fruits. But, keep things in balance. Enjoy what you eat. Have fruits and vegetables. By no means are fruits bad for you. How many servings of fruits and vegetables do you think you should eat in a day? The USDA recommends that Americans should eat 7 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables of all the colors. And they go on to describe what that looks like. 4 1/2 cups is about 9 servings of fruits and vegetables. And that would be the recommended amount for the average 2,000 calorie diet, with higher or lower amounts depending on how many calories you need based on your body type and size. The National Cancer Institute, well, according to Laura Lee DeSogra, director of the National 5-A-Day for Better Health program, which promotes the general recommendation for Americans to eat 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. The Division of Nutrition Research Coordination, 5 to 9 servings a day. The American Heart Association, eat 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables. The 5aday.gov, which seems to have been replaced by the 9aday.cancer.gov, they said men shoot for 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day for better odds on good health today and tomorrow. Eating more fruits and vegetables may be one of the easiest things you can do for your health, they say. Well, interesting, 5aday.gov is no longer available on the internet, and the 9aday.cancer.gov is also no longer up. You see, this is an ongoing learning process, and things are changing. You can still see these recommendations on the Internet Archive. They're still up on the archive, but they had been pulled down from the original source. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not going to trust recommendations from our government organizations. My standards when it comes to what I eat is certainly higher than theirs. I'm not saying 9 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables every day isn't enough, but not all vegetation is created equal. I'll explain shortly, but first, let's consider some of the main benefits of the nutrients from plants. You probably know phytonutrients as antioxidants. The main reason we call them antioxidants is because that is something that we can measure to determine the potency of the phytonutrients. You see, you put them in a test tube and you expose them to free radicals and you see how many of these free radicals they can absorb. And then you come up with a number. We call that the antioxidant score, or ORAC score is a common reference to their antioxidant potential. As antioxidants, surely they help prevent various forms of cancer. But some phytonutrients kill cancer cells, causing what we call cell apoptosis in cancer cells. Why do we call them antioxidants? Why don't we call them cancer killers? Well, the reason is we can't measure that. We can measure the antioxidant score. We can't really measure their cancer killing score. Some phytonutrients stimulate detoxification enzymes. They detoxify carcinogens through the activation of the cytochrome P450 and phase II liver enzyme systems. Why don't we call them detoxifiers? Again, you really can't measure that. They also stimulate the immune system and enhance the immune response. Why don't we call them immune system stimulators? They regulate hormones and modify cellular receptor uptake of hormones. Let's call them hormone regulators. They act as antibacterial or antiviral agents. Well, let's see, antibiotics and antivirals, those names are already taken. So we can't use that. Phytonutrients facilitate intercellular communication and can even help brain function and memory. Why don't we call them brain boosters? Some convert to other nutrients, such as converting to vitamin A. We can call them vitamin makers. Some phytonutrients repair DNA damage from toxic exposure. Why don't we call them DNA mechanics? Some phytonutrients are known to help prevent diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke. Some reduce inflammation, relieve stiff and achy joints, and relieve muscle pains, and strengthen bones and prevent osteoporosis. And as I found out, they can increase energy and decrease food cravings. Can I get a hallelujah? You see, we're only beginning to understand the benefits of phytonutrients. We call them antioxidants. If we called phytonutrients detoxifiers or cancer killers, if we called them immune system stimulators or hormone regulators. You see, these things, they sound more important to us than antioxidants. You'd think that if we called them by what they actually did, if we called them brain boosters or vitamin makers, if we called them DNA mechanics, they might be more important to us, and we'd probably consume more of them and better sources of these antioxidants, these phytonutrients, these plant nutrients that we get in our fruits and vegetables and herbs. Have I convinced you that they're important? So, how many should you eat? Remember, I said not all vegetation was created equal? There was a $25.8 million 4-year study that demonstrated that organic farm soils can create foods with higher nutritional value. At the 2005 International Congress of Organic Farming, Food Quality, and Human Health, Professor Carlo Liefert of Newcastle University reported, among other things, that organically grown fruits and vegetables contain up to 40% more nutrients than non-organic fruits and vegetables. Let me repeat that. Organic fruits and vegetables have 40% more nutrition than conventional non-organic fruits and vegetables. Now, what I find interesting about this is that we have no idea how these fruits and vegetables stack up to the vegetation that was in the Garden of Eden. Think about it. Even our best organic fruits and vegetables are still exposed to toxic air, toxic water, acid rain. They're being grown in nutrient-depleted soils and the likes of these things. But since we don't have food from the garden, let's consider what we have. Organic fruits and vegetables are 40% better. That means if I ate 5 servings of organic fruits and vegetables, I'd be getting the nutrient equivalents of 7 servings of conventional fruits and vegetables. Not only would I be getting more nutrients because they were organic, but I would also be getting less toxins. 5 servings of organic fruits and vegetables would be the same as 7 of the conventional. Well, you might get that down to even less. Organic isn't more expensive in the long run. It's actually cheaper. You might be paying more for your food up front, but you're getting more value for each dollar spent. You're also going to be taking in less toxins, which means better health, more longevity, more ability, more capability in your life, and probably fewer doctor bills. You know, it's one of those things you can pay the farmer now or the doctor later. So, by all means, stretch, get the best foods possible, find ways to do it. Realize that in the long run, it really is cheaper. Cheaper for your wallet, cheaper on the environment because there's less cleanup, less damage. Organic is better. Yet, we can still do better. You see, some foods are more densely packed with nutrients than others. We call these super nutrient dense foods superfoods. Superfoods are foods that naturally concentrate these important nutrients and antioxidants for overall health. So you've heard of nutrient dense foods. Superfoods are super nutrient dense. Shall I name a few? Avocados, algae such as spirulina and chlorella, aloe vera, barley grass juice. And I say barley grass juice, you've probably heard of wheat grass juice, but barley grass juice happens to be one of the stronger, more potent wheat grasses. There's blueberries and broccoli, chia seeds, cinnamon, coconuts, colostrum, cranberries, fig, flax seeds, green tea, black tea, honey, olives, probiotic rich yogurt, pomegranates, spinach, sprouts, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, turmeric, wild salmon. When we include superfoods, again, we are getting more of these important phytonutrients and zoonutrients. Let's consult the Bible for what is good. In Deuteronomy, we read, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. Yes, God would have us eat plenty of superfoods. Have I increased your awareness of the importance of phytonutrients and good potential sources for them? I can't stop there. Regarding organic foods, organic certainly is better. We've talked about the research and the more nutrients. Organic is also just a simple set of standards where you can actually do better than organic by bringing it home and growing your own. Of course, I made the analogy, we don't know what was in the garden. Well, guess what? Organic standards aren't the best, so chances are you can do better in your own home. When it comes to the foods you eat, consider the travel of a single vegetable before it makes it to your dinner table. Once it's harvested out in the field, bushels are loaded on an oil-dependent farm truck that brings them to the plant, where they're going to be machine washed and processed by oil-dependent machinery. From there, the farm's final product is going to be loaded into this fuel-dependent, climate-controlled container, and it'll be loaded by a fuel-dependent forklift. The container changes hands for the first time as it's picked up by an oil-dependent 18-wheeler. The trucking company will transport this container maybe to the port where the container is moved by an oil-dependent crane and loaded on an oil-dependent ship. The ship might be pushed across the ocean where the container can again be lifted by an oil-dependent crane, brought back to land, and then picked up by a climate-controlled 18-wheeler for transportation to a oil-dependent facility owned by the person who purchased the container of vegetation for the resale of these contents. From there, the whole process starts all over again, as the foods are often processed and changed and repackaged into smaller package and then redistributed in oil-dependent, climate-controlled 18-wheelers, where they will change ownership to new oil-dependent owners. If we are lucky, these new owners will be the central distribution centers for our grocery stores. They will assemble various food products together to fill up oil-dependent, climate-controlled 18-wheelers that are sent to the grocery store where it can be unloaded by more oil-dependent forklifts and eventually moved to the store shelves. And then we, of course, get in our oil-dependent, climate-controlled vehicles and drive to our oil-dependent grocery stores where we exchange money that we don't own for vegetation that's really no longer real. And this is what we're giving to our children. Something is wrong. Lord Cameron of Dillington, a British farmer, coined the phrase, 9 meals away from anarchy. He explained that if our fuel supply was suddenly interrupted, the transportation of food to the stores would be interrupted, and the grocery stores would be out of food within 3 days. Now, the reality is they'd probably run out faster due to, panicking people. We've seen examples of this with hurricanes and the likes where stores are just emptied out in one day. You see, whether meats, dairy, or vegetation, our food supply is oil dependent. Farming is done with tractors and machinery that is mostly oil dependent. Our foods then travel great distances to make it to our stores. Much of it travels overseas before it even makes it to central distribution locations. It can pass through many middlemen before it makes it to us. And by the time it gets to us, it's really no longer fresh, healthy food, if it ever was to begin with. So, what would be the practical application of this? Grow your own fruits and vegetables as much as you can. Having plants in your home that you can eat make a lot of sense. Not only can they provide you with a good source of nutrition, but they can also clean your air and exchange carbon dioxide for healthy oxygen for you to breathe in. Even a small yard can support an entire family. We would call this urban farming when you're farming your property in the city on your small property. I saw a video a few years ago. There was this family, I forget where they were, but they couldn't have been on more than a sixth of an acre that was covered mostly by their home. And they had things growing everywhere. The entire family was supported by the foods that they grew in their yard. Not only did it feed their entire family, but they also provided food for local restaurants, and this is how they generated revenue. When you grow your own food, at times you will have an abundance of food. With fruits and vegetables, you have options. You can preserve by dehydrating, you can ferment foods, you can freeze them. You can even share them with your neighbors, of course. We need to get back to the days where each family grows their own varieties and share among neighbors, where that becomes the norm, not the strange, rare occurrence. We're really good at growing things you can't eat, like grass, and our lawns look really pretty. It's time that we get back to reality and start growing some of our own foods. We got to stop being reliant on others to produce our food. We started farming our property about 10 years ago. We started with a simple avocado tree. One of our neighbors noticed an avocado that fell to the ground, and a small tree started growing out of this avocado that was sitting on their lawn. Well, years after we planted this, we started having 4 and 5 pound Florida avocados. Our small urban farm, we might have a fifth of an acre, which is also covered mostly by house and concrete. Well, on our humble farm, we now also grow papaya trees, coconut trees. We have a pomegranate tree, a fig tree. We grow moringa, which is really healthy. You can eat the leaves, and they provide lots of phytonutrients. We have sapodilla, which is just a delicious, amazing fruit. We're growing orange, we're growing lemon, lime, star fruit. We also have a few hundred aloe plants that we can harvest and drink the gel any day of the year. We no longer grow pineapples nor bananas. Instead, Amanda, my wife, has a vegetable and herb garden growing there. You should see the carrots. We also have some indoors. One of the things that we're very fond of is our aloe garden. Well, we also have aloe plants indoors, and it's amazing because the aloe plants that are indoors actually seem to grow better than the ones that are outside. They are just these gorgeous, beautiful, healthy, plump leaves. And you can fillet these leaves and run the inner gel through a blender and drink them. They are packed with nutrition. They seem to grow pretty much anywhere indoors, need very little light. They're tremendous for cleaning the air. There's definitely things that grow indoors. And whether you're in Florida or some other part of the country, it's a climate-controlled environment that you have power over. So now you know what I grow on my property. And of course, I'm in Florida. So here in Florida, we grow a lot of fruit trees. Most of our yard is covered with fruit trees, and they produce a lot of food. In other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, you might not be able to grow the same foods that I am growing here. It's important you do a little research, see what grows in your area, see what you can grow outside, see what you can grow inside. This particular video that I mentioned, I know they were up north somewhere, and they were using both indoors and outdoors. They were using greenhouses and these square boxes that almost seem to stack up on top of each other. Some people use hydroponics to grow. There are certainly alternatives if you don't have a place like Florida where things grow so abundantly. So, do a little research. I would probably plug in your location into the internet and say what grows in such and such a place. So, check into your local resources. You can look for co-ops, get together with your home groups, and start exchanging food, purchasing in bulk. We have a local company here. What they actually do is once a week they go and visit a bunch of local farms. They've already done the research for us. They know what each farm has and what is good, and they collect it together. I think they go out on Thursdays, and then Fridays everyone shows up to pick up their boxes, and it's kind of a weekly subscription. There's lots of programs like this. So see what's in your area. Let's start getting food locally and contributing by growing our own foods. When I started taking in all these phytonutrients, for me at that time, it was through a powdered supplement source. It was powdered fruits and vegetables. By consuming powdered fruits and vegetables, it's a way to get a lot more nutrients in your body in a very short period of time. Now, since then, I have converted more to getting my nutrients from nutrient-dense foods and super nutrient-dense food or super foods, the foods themselves. Whether it's the plant or the animal, they just aren't created equally. Consider this. Let's say that you're getting your beef or dairy and you're consuming these phytonutrients in the animal products. If the cow ate junk, it's going to have junky nutrition that actually may be harmful for you. But let's say that the cow is eating organic grasslands and they're consuming all of these phytonutrients, all of these carotenoids that are in the grass, it becomes a part of them. And when you consume these animal products, you're now getting nutrient-dense foods because they ate the proper diets. For my family, we'll actually buy milk right from the farm. And an amazing thing, if you look at the milk, if I were to set it next to store-bought milk, we would see a definite color difference. The milk from the store would be white, and the milk from the farm would be white, but side by side, one of them has a definite yellow tint. Which one do you think that is? You see, the organic milk from the grass-fed cows is filled with the nutrients from the grass, and these carotenoids in high enough concentrations, they make fruits and vegetables orange and green and red. Well, they make it into the milk and it gives it a yellow tint. You can see the nutrition in the food. We get our eggs from a farm, and they have these beautiful, bright orange yolks, and that is because they're filled with lutein that give it that beautiful color. You see, you can feed a chicken an organic diet, but just because it's organic doesn't mean it's got all the nutrients it should. I wouldn't buy eggs from vegan hens because chickens and hens, they're not supposed to be vegans. They go out in the fields and they eat off the ground and they eat bugs and stuff and they eat leaves and things that are filled with nutrients. So even though they were organic, it wasn't necessarily truly free range eating the foods they were supposed to. It's amazing when you consider the diet of these animals, of chickens. You know, and eggs and chickens, they can especially be deceiving in their packages, in the marketing at the grocery store. If you look at the packages on some of these things, omega-3 eggs, have you ever seen that? Well, usually what they're feeding chickens is corn. The difference between omega-3 eggs and regular eggs is they sprinkle in a little flaxseed with the corn feed. And they call them omega-3 because they have more omega-3s than the ones that only get corn. But if you were to eat eggs from truly pastured chickens that were out in the field eating what they were supposed to, these things would be jam-packed with omega-3s. Omega-3s are those essential fatty acid nutrients that are great for an anti-inflammatory diet, whereas the ones that are being fed corn are going to be very inflammatory. You see, there is a difference. And as with plant foods, you are what you eat. When it comes to these animal foods and getting the phytonutrients out of them, you are what they ate. Not all foods are created equally. For some people, if they're going to dive into this and start making these changes, they're going to rebel. They're not going to like change. Nobody likes change. But once you make the change and get accustomed to it and you see the benefits of it, eating more plant foods is a very enjoyable, pleasurable experience. It's interesting because I've introduced people to good nutrient-dense foods, and some will taste them and they say, "I could never do that." You know, you could never do that because you've never tried. And in some cases, it's actually kind of obvious that they've never tried. Their lives are sorely lacking in nutrition. They are sick, maybe obese, don't have clear thinking. They're lacking energy. They have headaches and all kinds of skin symptoms. For those people with more symptoms, making change might be more difficult. But if you are weak in any of those areas, I recommend you give it a try. Start out small. Find out ways that you can enjoy and consume more of these nutrients, whether through beverages, replacing those sodas or things that you know you shouldn't be consuming with a simple glass of iced tea, or maybe a smoothie by putting fruits in a blender and blending it up and consuming fruits in that way instead of those sports drinks that have sugar and flavors to mimic fruit juices. So make your choice today. Decide today. It's time to change. It's time to eat real foods, the kind that God intended for you. Those are the things you want to put in your body, not the things that are man-made, not these things that actually separate us from God. When you are putting in things that are made by man and not by God, it's man's creation. You're satisfying yourself, you're feeding the flesh, not the spirit. These things definitely separate you from your creator. I would actually consider these things sin. You know, you're departing from God's perfect way. It's further from God's plan. It's sin. It might not be such obvious sin. It's not murder. It's maybe just a slow death to yourself. It is not God's plan for you. He gave us instructions. He showed us the way we should go, the foods we should eat. So make your decision today. Let's you and I together get back to our roots, eating real food, the kinds that God intended for us to eat, having a hand in growing our own foods, and teaching and helping others to do the same. Let's stop buying these prepackaged so-called foods that are processed and pasteurized and preserved, colored, flavored, and sweetened. Some are radiated, they're genetically modified. These things, they're stripped of nutrients to increase the shelf life. And then they're wrapped in these plastic, bright colored wraps to entice us, which all this stuff is just going to end up on Trash Mountain eventually anyway. Let's start knowing what is in the foods that we eat, because we learned enough to till the ground, plant the seed, and reap a harvest. Thank you for your time. And my prayer for you, that it has given you a new perspective on what God has planned for you, for your nutrition, for your calorie intake, that you would add more color to your plate. Today is the day to make change for a better tomorrow. I'm looking forward to spending more time with you on Biblical Health TV to dive deeper into phytonutrition. I'm Michael Haley. Till next time, be blessed.